You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I admit, when if you were to go to me, you know, last year and go, hey, we're going to do a biopic about somebody who was famous a few years back, but you get to pick. Who would it be? I think Tonya Harding would be near the bottom of that list of people I would give a fuck about seeing a biopic about.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, really? Okay.
When this story happened in the mid-90s,
yeah, I remember it
very
well.
I love sports in general, as everybody knows. And so this was one of the first like huge sports stories that was being covered like all the time. And so I was obsessed. Because it's an insane story.
It was the O.J. Simpson and the White Bronco of sports stories.
Well, it was leading up to the Olympics, so that was already in the air.
But I was like,
and I worked with this. I had no knowledge at all about ice skating, and I still don't. Yeah. But I worked with a lady at Dell at the time that was a movie nut and a ladies ice skating. And that's what they used to call it. They never mentioned that in the movie, but they didn't call it women's ice skating. They called it ladies ice skating.
Right.
And it was like, that's a pretty big thing to hold on to that term, I think, in this modern age.
True.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it seems like that's going to change quick.
Well, go ahead with your intro.
Well, I'm just like, I think what it came down to is it didn't care at all about that stuff. Yeah. I was like, it was an interesting news story for 5 minutes, but it went on for fucking 5 weeks.
Right.
And I was like, and it just got worse. The more that they showed interviews with her, you're like, Jesus Christ, you are the worst kind of trash. And then they released the porn video that came out, and I never saw it, but how to describe to
me. Wasn't that after the fact, though? I mean,
but not that far.
I kept thinking that, too.
But not that long after the fact.
The stories kept getting weirder and weirder because it stayed in the limelight for a really absurdly long time. And so, yeah, people were finding out more and more things about her and Jeff Galooly and really all the other characters.
It was just such an unpleasant group of people. The last thing I'd want to do is spend 2 hours in a movie theater with her life story.
All I know is when I woke up to watch this movie, my leg was hurting really bad.
Why?
I mean, I tried to keep you out of this review. But that being said, now that I've actually seen this film, I take it all back because that was really charming and kind of wonderful and an incredibly well-made film. And God help me, you come out of this at the end going, okay, Tonya is definitely, she's still like, you know, trashy, but what else was she going to be considering? And you also come out going, I'm not convinced that she had anything to do with that. The whole thing.
I never thought she had anything to do with it. She just didn't look, I just think of people that do that sort of like ice skating or gymnastics. They don't think about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all that they do. They get up in the morning and they train and train and train. It's like asking, you know, you go, hey, Mike Tyson, why are your taxes so fucked up? Well, because that's not what I do. You know, it's like, you know, put them in the ring. That's another story.
Well, I never thought she.
They don't sit around plotting against each other.
No, and like in this movie, definitely goes from her point of view. This whole thing is still kind of like, well, no one really knows what happened. It's still a he said, she said thing. This movie is coming from Tonya Harding's point of view.
Well, and this movie is everyone's point of view, really. Like it's a series of interviews.
Well,
created.
In the terms of the decisions the movie makes, as far as what it says the facts of the matter were, it's going by Tonya Harding's story.
Mostly, yes. But we're not really explaining too much about what the movie is about other than Tonya Harding and the incident, mostly. And it's not just about the incident. It's about the beginning of her time skating up until a little bit of the aftermath of the incident as well.
True.
And it's all a series of interviews that are essentially recreated from things from everybody who was involved,
from
essentially
the extensive amount of real interviews that exist.
Interviews with people that beat the shit out of that girl her whole life,
or were just other side characters there, like her mom and the weirdest guy in the whole thing, like the what's his name, the guy who's like who says he's an international like anti-terrorism expert, and he's just some fat redneck guy.
He had me holding my sides every time.
He was like somebody off of Always Sunny, you know, Like, and then they show the real film of him at the end, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, every time you're like, oh, there's no way that could have happened. They show you the real film of that shit happening, that exact moment. You're like, what the fuck? Well,
I did want to put this by Craig Gillespie, who really kind of first got well known by his film, and I thought it was really great, Lars and the Real Girl. I really enjoy quite a bit, which also is one of Ryan Gosling's big first movies.
Yep.
And he also did I'm going to say it, very underrated remake of Fright Night.
I was going to say that. It's underrated.
I thought it was actually pretty damn solid.
It's really good.
Yeah, it was one of the few of the recent remakes that was worth seeing. I mean, come on, David Tennant playing the role of Roddy McDowell. Was great. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. He takes over Margot Robbie here playing Tanya Harding, except for when it's just her face CG'd onto an actual real ice skater's body, which apparently bothered me so much. I didn't even notice it.
I watched it on a theater, though. So.
Well, what's funny about that is I remember reading an interview with the people making the movie, and they were like, it's one of those funny things about how sort of out of touch filmmakers can be sometimes, because if they're thinking about who they want to cast the movie, they're like, well, can we cast somebody who does a triple axel? And they're like, no.
And the director goes, literally three people.
The director goes, why? He's only three people in the world have done a triple axel.
Is one of them The Rock?
No.
We'll stick a wig on The Rock and we'll make it. It'll be great.
Yeah. They had to get one of the actual few people who
can
do it.
So they're up to three
it.
Now, though?
I think it's three people who
there's
can
There's one who
do
can
it.
Do it right now, but she was like, I'm training right now. I'm not going to risk doing a triple axel for a movie.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of like CG tinkering regardless. Yeah. But yeah, it was like you had two choices. You could either like never show her ice skating, basically, or you could CG her face on.
I feel like they just should have spent more money on the CG, is what I'm saying.
I never noticed it right away.
Like, it bothered me immediately.
But I'll watch it again. I couldn't tell.
What about like through the rest of the routines?
It's unclear the degree to which she was not her. From what I heard, she really was like a freshman skater at best.
Oh, really?
But I'm not entirely sure.
Well, they did a pretty good job with that. That was such a victorious moment in the movie, too, when she did that number. And then her score sucked.
Fucking judges. Like,
it's all, the frat boys against the Animal House.
Well, I mean, that's part of this film, why it's timely. It's this whole expectations of what is considered to be feminine and what's considered to be graceful versus this long-standing thing in figure skating where it's like, no, it has to be this certain way. And she came out as kind of, I'm the bad girl. And they point out in the movie, it's like, well, she's kind of thick in the legs. And they're like, yeah, because she's doing a fucking triple axel and you got to be built like a tank down there to do that. It's really hard. It takes a lot of muscles, and this movie to some degree is dealing with that sort of stuff, like all these expectations and the way that our whole culture decided en masse, no, she definitely did it, what a piece of shit, fuck her. And she's going like, god damn it, this whole thing was my dream my entire life. So you guys have no idea, Tanya Harding was competing, but all we knew when all this stuff broke the news is Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan were competitors who were going to be at the Olympics. Somebody attacked Nancy Kerrigan and tried to break her knee. She was seriously injured before the Olympics. She managed to recover enough where she was going to make it, but it came out that, at least as far as the media was concerned, that Tanya Harding went in there and personally beat the shit out of her. That is not what happened. That part is not certain. We do know that this weird guy fancied himself a hitman who was hired indirectly.
A secret agent.
Came in and did it.
John Eckhart.
He was attached to a friend of Tanya Harding's boyfriend, played here by Sebastian Stan, Jeff Galluli. It's very unclear the degree to which, like, did he absolutely know and order this, or did he not order it but knew?
It doesn't matter, because he started it.
He started it.
Like he was the loaded gun in the room.
And it's all
like,
this,
I was just going to shoot out a light bulb while you blew somebody's brains out. It's like, you're still the villain in this.
And it's all the, like, I mean, right from the beginning, we see her as a young girl with Allison Janney, who, by the way, is a fucking powerhouse in this movie.
Absolutely.
She's like the villain of the year, as far as I'm concerned,
She's
like the worst sports mom ever. And probably like a lot of other sports moms, except she actually put cigarettes out on her daughter.
She was wild.
She's just like, yeah, she's
she's so and
she's such a lovable actress, you know? Yeah. It's like, even when she's a fuck-up mother, she's still cool.
Yeah.
But, like, in this, you're just going, I don't know if I can ever...
You just despise her, but you can't help
sure
but
I'm
going to
like you
stuff.
In anything else yeah. ever.
And astounding is when she gets together, and still in high school, with Jeff, like... Really quick, he starts hitting her, and she's like, well, I just assumed that meant they loved you, you know, because that's how my mom always acted. And you're just like, oh, I just raped you right there. You're just like, oh, fuck, seriously? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of heartbreaking moments pretty much almost every 20 minutes when it comes to her personal life. Like from the get-go, you know, her father just leaves. And she's just left with this horrible, horrible person.
Now, I don't want to give people the impression that we're talking about this straight-up tragedy. Is definitely a lot of this whole thing is a tragedy, but they play it in a sort of almost like weirdly Coen Brothers ish.
It's a dark
sense
comedy,
of humor.
A little mockumentary kind of thing.
Yeah, a little bit of a mockumentary at points.
It's like watching The Dark Office.
Breaks the fourth wall. During non-interview parts, it breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah she turns around talking.
Yeah,
to the
it
camera.
Breaks the fourth wall in really surprising moments.
And I think Margot Robbie, who's got a really tough job here playing this character, has proven that she's more than just that hot chick from The Wolf of Wall Street.
She nails, acting in this movie. Like, at one point, every time I saw Margot Robbie before this movie, I was like, oh, she's just kind of pretty and she's not bad at acting. But this is just like, oh my God, she needs to just do normal, like, great acting. Like, forget just any roles that, like, involve being the sexy person. She should take every possible drama thing she can get.
Yeah, because she's, you know, taking a role that isn't about her being the prettiest girl in the room. Not at all. In fact, it's this girl who's kind of, like I said, southern trash. And, you know, she's okay looking, but she's not, like, a stunner at all. I mean, she definitely uglied herself up to some extent. Oh, there's a shot towards the end where she's put on the makeup for the Olympics. And she looks like the fucking Joker.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like, it's just so hard. And it's supposed to be in fluorescent, so it doesn't look right anyway. But it's definitely a very intentional choice to exaggerate this point of this woman who's in an ugly place.
Yeah.
You know, despite supposedly being all made up to be beautiful for the Olympics.
Yeah, that ugly place is just what's so sad is that she just lost. You know, like, she just did her best and just... couldn't maintain.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold herself up through all of that stress. You know. That other people have.
Who could?
I know. Well, some people probably can. You know.
That's kind of the interesting thing is I think at the time, all of this, everybody kind of blamed Tanya or everybody grew to not like her. And, yeah, everybody had it completely wrong. I think she was misunderstood and some of it may have been her fault, but yeah, it didn't seem like a lot of it was.
I mean, it doesn't make any apologies for the fact that, she wasn't a very nice person, but how could she possibly have been?
It would have been weird if she wasn't a nice person.
Exactly. It would have been really weird if she was a super sweet, nice person. But, you know, I mean, this is what happens when you get a dog and from a puppy you just kick it constantly. Yeah. It's going to grow up to bite people and be rude.
Yeah.
But this movie makes a strong point. It was like, but she was busy training for the Olympics. She wasn't about to. Somebody who they even... you know, says even Nancy Kerrigan's admit, I thought we were friends, you know, who herself, I think, bought the media like, oh, well, Tanya ordered this to happen. It was like, Tanya's like, I was her friend. I don't see what, it's like, I don't know what was even happening with all that. It's like, clearly Jeff, her boyfriend, is a fuck up to the nth degree. So you're like, I see this being much more likely that was just all on you.
I think one of the other interesting things about the movie, and it's not explored enough, really. It's mentioned a little bit towards the end, and a little bits throughout, but Bobby Cannavale as the hard copy producer, hard copy was kind of like TMZ before TMZ. Like this is the mid-90s, sort of birth of the internet time. This is really kind of birth of the 24-hour news cycle. And so, this is way before... You could almost repeat this story now in 2017, and it would sort of play out the exact same way. You would have a TMZ constantly reporting this new angle. Like, today Sean Achard did this. Today Jeff Gillooly did that.
And having
that's sort
her
of what
car
was happening.
Towed while they're, you know. Sometimes I just, like, have a car towed or call a fire truck or something. Just call something. It's just like, and he was in blackface while he was saying all that.
Yeah.
That was weird.
That was a very weird choice.
A lot of things in here that are weird, but they're not weird because of the filmmaker's decisions. They're weird because of these fucking people who are just... fucked up people all across the board.
I think somebody else decided that.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, we just... The guy... What is the guy's name who was the guy who thought he was the
Sean Eckhart.
It was Sean Eckhart.
Sean Eckhart. That guy... He is a special kind of fucked up and insane. And if anything, the funniest moments in this film are with this guy, where you're just like,
they're the funniest, but also some of the most like weird, cringy.
They kind of take you out of the narrative, and then you find out that they're
it's
real.
All absolutely
real.
Nobody's
yelling to his mother to dial the phone for him. He's got the cord stretched down all the way.
Like, Mom, dial the fucking number.
That was so funny and so creepy at the same time. Just. You know, just
every time he was on the screen, I was just like, I don't know whether to laugh or be completely, utterly fucking creeped out by this guy.
And why would anybody hang out with that guy?
Or really any of these people, except arguably Tanya herself, who at the least had the thing where she knew what she wanted and she was driven towards it. And she was one of the best people in the world at it. It felt like there was a point in her life where just a nice person had come along and inserted themselves in her life. Things would have been so different for her.
The nice person did. That coach did.
Well, but she wasn't determined
enough. Well, no, then Galooly'd it.
Yeah. True. And her mom, Lavona, is just like, is the worst kind of like, the moment someone starts to take her away from her is just like, oh, really? I'm going to wreak as terrible revenge as I can. You know, just like who's just so vicious and there's a point in the movie where you think she's trying to actually make amends, and it's the biggest punch in the stomach of the entire film. Yeah. Like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. Why haven't we executed this woman?
It was hard to be mad, though, every time you saw that little bird, though.
Well, let's go to final thoughts. JC, why don't you get us started?
One of my most anticipated of the year. Love Margot Robbie. I loved the story because I was obsessed with it when it happened in the 90s. I really liked how it sort of turned even my perceptions of what I had thought about everything. Seemed like a lot of new information is brought to light here, and so that was great for me. I love sports movies in general, so this is kind of lumped into that. It's really, really well done sports movie. Allison Janney's amazing. They're really the two driving forces throughout this. I think the talk is that both of them could be nominated as a supporting actress, best actress, and best supporting actress.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it'd be great for. It'd be weird if the Academy's awards had nominations for Margot Robbie playing Tonya Harding and then James Franco playing Tommy Wiseau. Like crazy people.
Very strange.
Like,
and there are a lot of people who are saying Franco's going to get nominated for Disaster Artist. So.
I'd love this movie all around. Any praise it gets, I'm 100% with. I would give it 9 out of 10 cigarette butts.
Michael?
So I'm the youngest person in this review, but that's not... It's like, so I didn't really necessarily, like, grow up seeing anything really involving Tonya Harding, except for mostly pop culture. Like, every time somebody got hit in the leg, basically, they went down and said, oh God, why? Kind of thing. Like every single time. I found hints of it throughout. Like, this incident was a ripple that that continues to keep on going.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I would look into it every now and then when I got curious, and this, so when I found out about this movie, I was like, I have to find out what the fuck happened. and so when I got there, I was expecting something that was a little more like, oh, this is a documentary, but I got something even better than that. I got a great little mockumentary that everybody's really funny in it. Sebastian Stan, we didn't really talk too much about. He's pretty good in it as well. He mentions, like in the beginning, that galooly is a verb. And so overall, this movie has fantastic performances. It's a little odd in certain points only because, you can't exactly always cast, you couldn't keep casting different people to be Tanya throughout the entire movie. So you have to accept the fact that sometimes Margot Robbie has to be a 15-year-old.
Yeah, when she's 15, there's a moment you're just like, well.
they throw braces on her and you're like, you're 15, and you're just like, that sure.
never would have worked if this hadn't had a very black comedy aspect to it.
Yeah, absolutely. This movie really works because of the fact that it's not really like a shot. It's not really supposed to be serious almost to begin with. Like, it feels like a great little dark comedy. Like, if you didn't know anything about Tonya Harding and you just showed this to somebody, they would just assume it was a dark comedy of some kind. And you just cut it off before it shows the real tapes, and they'll just keep thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
much like The Disaster Artist.
Exactly.
I was hearing stories of people at the screening who, at the end, when they start showing the shots of the real movie, were like, holy shit, that was a real movie?
Yeah, I was right next to me on that screening. But yeah, The only real issue I had with it really was the CGI on the faces for the skating. But that's because I'm the only one who noticed that right away. But I'm not like it bothered me greatly for certain sequences, especially when it would do like kind of zoom ups or zoom ins on her face, because it looked like a GIF put on somebody's face. And it was really hard to get past.
She's like done the peanut butter jelly time guy.
Especially when it was like extended skating sequences, because like at one point I was just trying to look away, and I was just like, I don't know where to look anymore because I don't want to stare at that face anymore. But I personally loved the hell out of this movie though, so I would have to give it 9 out of 10. Little tiny parrots biting at somebody.
Johnny Neal.
I really loved this movie. I kind of have some conflicts with the tonal shift that would happen. Like it she gets beat up a lot throughout this movie, and you know, I think that this movie's going to have a second life as like a battered woman story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aside from the exploitation of a sportsploitation
sure.
plot kind of a thing. I mean, I just kept falling in love with her and then just getting my heart broken right along with her, you know. It's just, because it's like she was the underdog that didn't do anything to be the underdog, you know. It was like, I'm doing everything right and you people are assholes.
Right.
That was, and the more that she stood up for that, the more I cheered for her. And then, because it was almost like she never really made any decisions except to do her best, you know. And then other shit just happened to her. These other people happened to her,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, the only guy that ever paid any attention to her, she runs off with. And
yeah, like, her mom says they're married, or when she's getting married to him, she's like, yeah, great, so you went and married the first guy who ever smiled at you. And you're like, okay, it's the only thing she said that she has a point about.
right. Yeah, and you know, and she was just so vile. The mother was so vile. And I really loved it. I did find sometimes the tonal shifts would be a little bit jarring to me, like when it would go to suddenly being a kind of a mockumentary from a straight-ahead biopic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that, I'll just have to live with that
because sure.
it still worked as a whole. My biggest, I've never ice skated in my life because my big fear is getting my fingers run over by a skater and geez. Having them cut off.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's a really specific fear.
So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 attached fingers.
Uh-huh.
I'm with Johnny. I actually ice skated once, and it hurt my feet like a motherfucker.
I used to love ice skating when I was a kid.
I would give it 9, except that they used Spirit in the Sky on the soundtrack, and I'm sorry, but that's one fucking digit that I will always say, too much. You don't need to use that song in this album again.
Oh, fair enough.
That's two movies with Margot Robbie that have Spirit in the Sky.
Oh, really? Is that, there been another one that was in
Suicide
Squad? Oh. I did think overall, though, we haven't even pointed out, I thought the soundtrack for this
was
too. Great.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one great song after another in this thing, you know? And Spirit in the Sky is a great song, but, you know, come on.
It doesn't have to be in every goddamn movie.
That's true. Yeah, I think I really enjoyed this. I agree with you. I think most pertinent is exactly what you said. People are going into this as the DeGrasse sports star movie, but I think where it really is going to live on is as a very different way of discussing like gender issues and women dealing with being beaten and those sort of things, because unlike every other film to ever deal with it, it's doing the whole thing with not a sense of humor directed at that is funny that happens, but it gives you a sort of like whole different perspective around it of saying like, you never stop feeling how rooting for this girl and feeling how tragic it is, all this stuff around her, all these horrible people, but it completely humanizes the victim in such a real way by having this sort of lighter tone around it. You know, it's like, I'm more than just a victim. And she fights back. Exactly.
I like that. I mean, she didn't get in the good punches, but she fought back.
She did.
She didn't ever cry about
it. She was doing
a gun at him.
She was good with the elbows, man. I was like, she should have gotten like one of those Indonesian martial artists to come in there and teach her some of that Muay Thai stuff. She would have been good at that.
With skates.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine? I can see a sequel to
he
this
He wouldn't
now.
Have any fingers.
I, Tanya, you dead. It's a sequel. yeah, I think this is thoroughly both entertaining. It's smart. It's got heart and some farts. It's a lot of fun, and I give it 9 out of 10 really terrible mustaches. as you do, because Sebastian Stan, you know, come on, that mustache. It was kind of neat, though. You were complaining about the CG with Margot Robbie's face on the ice skater, but I didn't even notice any CG issues with them taking out Sebastian Stan's metal cyborg arm. I was like, it looks like a real arm.
They CGI'd the mustache, probably.
Yeah, they probably